Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. So, here we are.
Yep.
2 weeks away from Battleground, 2 weeks away from Hell in a Cell. The perfect middle of nothing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Welcome to the show, guys. Hooray. Starting on a high note.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
I don't know, I was watching Raw this week, and I realized we have one more John Cena free Raw. That's it.
Well, I mean, you never know. They might have him on that go-home show.
Do you think he'll be on next week?
I don't know, but I wouldn't put it past them. I'm surprised they haven't put him on yet.
Yeah, except, I mean, they'd had a video of him, like, lifting weights.
Yes, so. And talking him up, and I still think it makes him sound like RoboCop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Or Steve Austin. Not the wrestler.
Okay, I was like, wow.
$6 million
man. All right.
$6 million man. Sorry, that's a common name.
Well done. It's not that common of a name.
Okay, it's common for entertainment, apparently.
Two.
Okay.
But wow.
And that one politician, he's like, my name's Steve Austin, and if you're blind, yes, I'm the wrestler.
I gotta say, like, I did not think that we would ever get to the point... Where on this podcast.
Where I would call John Cena Steve Austin.
Where we would have to, like, talk about... We would be talking about a Steve Austin that's not the Stone Cold Steve Austin. But...
Well, I had to check that off the list, then.
Verily, it hath happened.
And I'm glad I was the one to do it.
All right, well done. All right, yeah, the $6 million man, Steve Austin.
Yes.
Okay.
I should have just stuck with RoboCop.
Had a lot less talk about you said RoboCop.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I mean, he could be on the Go Home show.
Yeah, I mean, the only real thing I'm pulling from is them doing, saying that CM Punk was going to be at Payback, but CM Punk was never at any Raw, so we weren't sure if he was actually going to show up.
Yeah.
So I thought in the back of my head, maybe that's what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
But I'm like, they really like having John Cena on for any reason that they can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, granted, you know, he's... plastered all over those promos. He's on every Susan G. Komen promo that they have.
Yeah.
He's on, you know,
I mean,
every other commercial.
You know, I mean, I could totally see it, and I'd understand it and be fine with it, because it's kind of the best of both worlds, where you get all this promotion ahead of time of buying Hell in a Cell, because John Cena will be there, and you still kind of can get that surprise return pop.
True.
If he shows up unannounced at the go-home show.
Yeah. They're really putting all their eggs in this Hell in a Cell basket.
Yeah.
You know? Especially since how the last two have gone. You know, they've got Shawn Michaels for this one. They're getting John Cena to come back early.
That's what you get when you put three pay-per-views in a row.
I know that.
And one of them's no Dynasty Champions.
Very true.
So, okay, well... Here's, I guess, my biggest question right now. Do you think that there is anything to Shawn Michaels other than trying to squeeze a few extra buys out of it?
I mean, yeah, there's...
I mean, you go...
I'm split.
You can go so far as to, like, this will lead to an in-ring return of Shawn Michaels.
No.
They're just want...
I say there's a 75% chance that he's just there, he's going to call the match... Down the middle, have no real interaction with anything.
Uh-huh.
And he's just there for nostalgia.
Yeah.
Then there's that 25% of it, there's like, Triple H loves involving Shawn and whatever he can do.
Yeah.
You know, and it fits a little too perfect. Like, you know, Randy Orton has his figurehead always going to battle for him. Maybe Shawn Michaels ends up being Daniel Bryan's figurehead that can go toe-to-toe with Triple H... From a business person standpoint,
who won't or technically...
as a leadership type.
Okay, thing. How does that not lead to a match though?
I don't know.
So you know, just talking this is going back way back. Where I'm not even sure if we had a podcast when I pitched this to you, but we're talking about if Shawn Michaels was ever to return. How would you do it?
Mm-hmm.
And so my pitch was, and this was while Triple H was out because he was filming The Chaperone. So
yeah, we just, definitely did not have
podcasts. Just to give you a time frame of when this came around.
I hate that I've seen that movie.
Because I've not seen that movie. he mentioned in some interview, it might have just even been like a dirt sheet thing, where he said he'd like to come back as a heel. He was, you know, he wanted another heel run. Yeah. And it's taken him all this time to get to a heel run, but I took that little bit and ran with it, with Triple H coming back and wrecking through a huge chunk of the card, or the roster, and then taking out Undertaker, to the point where Undertaker is basically like, you know, he has to give his blessing to Shawn to come back and be the only one to take on Triple H.
Right.
A little bit of that, you know, thing where the guys.
Yeah, but then again, that's like, if Undertaker can't take care of somebody, who can, storyline-wise?
If it's not WrestleMania, Undertaker doesn't have to win.
True.
Like, there's, you know.
If outside WrestleMania, Undertaker has a pretty bad record.
Well, all he does is go up against Kane.
True.
He's only there if he has to do something with Kane. That's about the only time you see Undertaker not at WrestleMania.
True.
But, I mean, how would you... If the thing is, yes, Shawn Michaels has called up WWE and says, I'm ready to do it, I want to come back, another match in the ring.
The thing I always went with is kind of already passed. Like, I was thinking that at some point Shawn Michaels would, you know, screw Triple H out of, you know, beating Undertaker. You know, the whole jealous best friend kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would lead to it. Yeah. That's what I always thought. And then whenever that didn't happen, I just kind of didn't even think about it. I was like, okay, well, I guess he's going to stay retired. Like, I didn't even bother thinking of any other scenario. But...
Do it now!
But doing it now, like, it makes total sense that, you know, like I said, this would lead to Daniel Bryan have some legend-type figure...
In his corner.
...go to bat for him. That could, you know, you could sift through all of Triple H's, you know, businessman BS.
Uh-huh.
That can just kind of go toe-to-toe with him, verbally.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, no one else can, because other people have mic skills too. But, you know, it would add, you know, someone else in Daniel Bryan's tiny little corner.
Yeah.
But again, I'm kind of torn on that, because we were still basically with the whole, like, Daniel Bryan versus the world type thing. Like, we have people who will fight with him if they're putting a match with him.
Right.
But that's about as far as that goes. Like,
but that's the thing, actively Daniel Bryan is the little engine that could.
Right.
And if the little engine could has, like, a diesel-powered super train pushing him up the hill.
Yeah.
But I think we're pretty much agreed that... If Shawn Michaels comes back, it's to fight Triple H.
I don't see anything else.
There's no other storyline where it makes sense.
Mm-mm.
I don't want him to have one more match at the one more shot at the streak. That's the only other thing I could even kind of pretend to see.
And I don't want them, like, I want them to leave well enough alone.
Yeah. However, I will say, not to jump way too far ahead, but I will say that. That is one of the few things that would make me question if the streak was gonna pass that year. Like, if that, to break the streak, if they said Shawn Michaels is coming back to take one more crack at the streak, that's one of the few storylines where I'm like, I do not know if the streak will be broken.
Well, yeah, because to be honest with you, those two matches were the two matches where I was like, I really didn't know if the streak was gonna end or not.
Yeah.
I mean, I really haven't felt that way since. Like, there's been brief moments in both Triple H matches, not so much in the CM Punk match.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, oh, wow. They could. But there was like a brief moment. Then I was like, okay, yeah, no.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's moments in, especially in the End of an Era one, the second Triple H match.
Yes.
Where you're like, they're gonna do it. They're doing it right now. They're gonna do it. And I'm like, oh, no, they're not. Okay, that's okay. Okay. Here it comes. They're gonna. Look at that. Oh, okay. Never mind. Okay. But like, even, yeah, like, in-ring skill-wise, yes, there would be lots of that. But... Even, like, behind the scenes, where I was, like, checking out, you're like, oh, Undertaker has said he's gonna... You know, I could see, like, oh, this is because Undertaker said he's gonna retire. Yeah. And, you know, he wants Shawn to be the one to break it. And so, you know, he's okay with it, and Shawn's okay with it. Like, going into that match, I would not know who would come out the victor.
Right.
And it's hard to do that with a streak.
It is.
But I'm getting ahead of myself.
You are.
But yeah. All this is probably for naught. Shawn's probably there for publicity.
Right, yeah.
We feel pretty confident.
But it does seem like a random pay-per-view to bring him back. Because usually Shawn Michaels only comes back for SummerSlam or WrestleMania.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I don't know either.
It could be.
It could be. It could be. There was something I did want to bring up. Something happened on this past SmackDown.
Yes.
I know. I know how I feel with SmackDown. But I saw someone mention it on Twitter. I was like, no. So, I went back, and I just watched this one part.
Mm-hmm.
There was a match, Los Matadores.
Mm-hmm.
They had a match against another masked tag team called Los Locales.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring El Local.
Yes.
Who is, we all know as Ricardo Rodriguez. Yes. One of our favorites. And this other masked person who I found out was Tyson Kidd.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really good match.
Of course it was. Did you not just hear the names you listed?
I know. I mean, because we, okay, regardless of how we feel about Los Matadores, their gimmick and everything, it's a terrible gimmick.
Don't care.
But
they're
still great.
But those dudes can bounce.
Absolutely. Put those guys in with El Local, a guy that we know can work.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyson Kidd, who I've been itching for.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. I kind of wish it was a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of wish that they would just, because I know what it was. Like, they need someone to job to the Los Matadores.
Yeah.
I get that. But it wasn't really a job. Like, it was a really good match.
That, okay. Because I know the match, and because I know about it ahead of time. I don't know where you were.
I wasn't watching Friday Night SmackDown actively. I had my Twitter account open, and I saw someone talk about it as it was happening. I was like, oh. So, you know, that night I went back and watched it.
Yeah. But that's how you job, you guys.
Yes.
Like,
if you have to job, do something like this.
It made everybody look good.
Yeah.
This is the thing I want to say.
Yeah.
This is like, and to compare it to, like, on levels of, like, Juan Cena. Like, I just want it to be on TV.
Yeah. Although, John Cena did kind of acknowledge Juan Cena
mm-hmm.
on Twitter. I think it was last week. It was a Throwback Thursday thing, and he posted a picture of Juan Cena.
Yeah.
And I replied, wow, you know Juan Cena too? It's such a small world! And not the best joke, I don't care, but I thought it was funny.
Of course you did, Chris. Of course you did.
There you go, judging me again.
Other information we have learned via this week on Raw. There will be two Hell in a Cell matches, as per usual.
Yes.
But they will not be the title matches, because one will be the WWE title, and the other will be CM Punk's match against
Ryback and Paul Heyman.
Yes. Why?
Didn't we just go through this? Like,
why?
I don't know. Like, and CM Punk is the one that chose this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Punk, no. But, I mean, it makes sense, because Punk, any chance that he's given, he's going to try to get at Paul Heyman.
Yes.
That's his motivation. That's what he wants.
Yes.
And they already announced he was going to have a match with Ryback, so guessing he's just adding this on because he at least wants a chance to take a swipe at Paul.
Mm-hmm. A lot of this, there's not a whole lot to say about this because it would all be repeats from how I felt about Night of Champions and Battleground.
Or, okay.
You know, just this whole general CM Punk thing.
Yes.
It's just that this feud topped out with SummerSlam.
Yeah.
It was like, and it's kind of, you know, and so Punk lost, and so, you know, they had to continue it. But right now, at this point, I'd have been okay with Punk losing.
It's like you got your hands on some really good crack that one time, and then ever since you're trying to get high off of dry erase markers. I wouldn't know.
I'm sorry, is Ryback the dry erase marker to Brock Lesnar?
To Brock Lesnar's crack? Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly what I want out of this, because I'm not even sure I would have booked it differently.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah, I had no idea how I would
The SummerSlam match, perfect. No complaints. It's beautiful. Even up to the Brock winning, because now I get to see a rematch. I want a rematch of those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want Punk on every week, and I want Paul Heyman on every week. and have them on the same show and not acknowledge each other is stupid, so...
Yeah.
I get continuing this feud. I get Curtis Axel is maybe not the best way to do it. We tried that.
Yeah.
A for effort.
Would it have been different if they had Ryback with Heyman all...
The whole time?
Yeah.
I mean, even like... Even they didn't, and I get that, and they decide to put Ryback with Heyman. I get that. I can't say that that was a bad idea or that I would not have done that.
Yeah.
You know? So it's... That's kind of what's frustrating about this feud to me is, like, I don't even know if it's wrong. It's just not clicking. And I don't know when to ditch that.
Right.
You know, I don't know when I feel they need to just throw in the time that we tried.
I think...
New feuds for everybody.
I think if they're not planning for Brock to come back for Survivor Series, I think they need to kind of...
Leave well enough alone.
Then they can revisit it.
Whenever Brock can come back.
Which I'm assuming if it's not Survivor Series, it's going to be Rumble.
Yeah.
And then, you know, have Brock and CM Punk 2 at Royal Rumble. I mean, I would be okay with them not being in the Royal Rumble.
It's like, for that, absolutely. I'm just sitting here being like, what if the Rumble isn't the best match at Royal Rumble? Has that ever happened before?
That match against CM Punk and Dolph Ziggler.
No, it was good, but it wasn't the Rumble.
That was the Rumble that Sheamus won, though. Well, yeah, that was a good... That was good because it ended with, almost a full match between Jericho and Sheamus at the end. And Jericho made Sheamus look really good. Which is something now that we really appreciate, after we've gone through this whole anti-Sheamus thing.
Yeah. No, Sheamus looked great. I had, no problem with Sheamus in that match.
The Rumble that Cena won last year, we were kind of But we kind of knew that was happening.
Yeah.
Plus, we had some good moments. We legitimately didn't know Jericho was going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely surprised us. Goldust was a huge surprise, and the fact that he got to fight against Cody for a good while.
Yeah, that we got that which we felt robbed of prior.
Yeah, and I mean, what else on that card would have beat that? Because we all know the Punk and Rock match just felt wrong. It just felt wrong. The day the music died.
It was. And I don't know, that's the other thing where I sit here. I have spent so much time thinking about that match.
Yeah.
Way more than healthy. But...
Because it was the end of something huge.
Well, that's the thing, is how do you end that?
Yeah.
You know, obviously, that had to end. How is a good way to end that? That's reasonable. I mean, okay, I'll answer first.
Okay.
Give you time to think. Because the correct answer, the one only true correct answer, is for CM Punk to go into The Undertaker with the belt on the line. Streak versus streak.
True.
That's the only way to legitimately, in this day and age, to honor that level of a streak for CM Punk. I get that means The Undertaker will be champion. He doesn't want to be champion. So you can't do that.
Yes.
And I get that. And I'm trying to think of something.
And Undertaker specifically wanted Punk this past year, from what we heard.
That's when Undertaker would have had Punk, though.
Right, yeah.
And you could have... twice in a lifetime, would it just not been for the belt, the streak match would have been for the belt.
Yeah.
Would have been better.
Yeah.
And it would have made, 3 months of wrestling better.
It would have.
And the only problem is Undertaker doesn't want to be champion. And I get that, because he doesn't want to have that schedule.
Yeah.
But how do you finish that over a year of a championship?
Hold on to the belt for a while longer while Daniel Bryan's went on that tear into the summer like he did. Mm-hmm. And SummerSlam we have CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. And that's how Punk drops the belt. He ends up being the true, almost giant slayer kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's really what I was kind of hoping for with Rock and Punk, because... that's how I set it up the moment that they announced at Raw 1000 that Rock would have a title match at Royal Rumble, and when we saw Punk essentially turn heel that same night, I was like, okay, this is what's going to happen. Punk's going to turn into this huge, bad heel, hopefully a dominant one that no one can beat, and so basically Rock is the one guy that tries to take down the big bad heel. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, they had moments after that where Punk turned into the heel that's going to find any shady way he can to win.
Yeah.
And that kind of, it didn't ruin it, but didn't help it either.
Yeah, but
you know, but, and it felt like those parts of that where Punk was just kind of, you know, he had his health stuff going on, so he kind of just skated through. Plus the Ryback thing didn't help. Wasn't great.
Yeah.
But then the moment it was like there was, it was almost like there was a light that happened. Like Punk had that that ladder match in January against Ryback. That was Ryback's official opportunity because Punk got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That was their big, or it was a TLC match. Punk ended up winning and basically went right into that promo. That was basically the moment he set his sights on Rock. And it's like, Punk just turned into a different guy, like the Punk that we were all hoping for.
Yeah.
You know? And of course, those promos were really good, especially from Punk. But the match, eh.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the match was going to be any better because,
I mean, and that's the thing.
What,
like,
else, what can you change about that?
It was...
I hate the way it happened. Like, I hated the restart thing.
The restart thing, and...
And how quickly Rock beat him after the restart.
After the restart. And personal, unending hatred for the People's Elbow. Yes. That he lost... Like, it would have gone a long way if he lost to the Rock Bottom instead of the People's Elbow.
I would have been okay with it.
I would have been okay with it.
Okay, I would have been...
But I would have better. Slept easier.
Yes.
Like, and it would have been a huge step. It's not like a little baby step. Like, no, it's...
It would have been a smaller scab to yes. not pick at.
Yeah. So that's one. That's one easy thing you could have done.
Yeah.
Lose to the Rock Bottom, not the People's Elbow. Other than that, like, in trying to stick with their story, Rock needs to have the title because Twice in a Lifetime needs to be for the belt. Again, I get where they were going with that. Like, disagree, right. Thought it was a bad idea, but I get they're going that, and they have to kill Punk's streak to do that. So that, and that's the thing, is how do you do that? I might not have had The Rock do it. Honestly, if Punk had lost to somebody else in December. Or not in December, because I wanted him to be champion for the entirety of 2012.
Yeah.
So if he'd lost before the Rumble in January.
To Ryback? That TLC match? Because that was the only championship match that happened that specific time frame is when that match happened.
Like, how big they were on Ryback, the noise Ryback was getting at the time.
It made sense. Like, every time Ryback lost, it was always because of S.H.I.E.L.D. intervention or Brad Maddox.
Yeah, if Ryback had it, Ryback gets to go against The Rock. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll lose, but he gets that on his resume, had a match against The Rock.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would go a long way.
Ryback would have accidentally broken Rock. Because those times where he accidentally kind of broke CM Punk.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's... Because Ryback was face at that time. I don't know. I think that I would have been more content for that. I would have also liked the Shield to... I would have done that whole thing. And at once, the Shield comes in, is gonna attack Ryback again, as always. Shield turns, attacks CM Punk.
Yeah.
CM Punk loses the belt, comes out the next night on Raw, cuts some kind of, like, I don't blame Ryback. He did what any wrestler would do. He took out, you know, he pounced on a wounded champion. That's what you do in this business. Because he's done it a bunch of times. He's, like, 2-time Money in the Bank winner.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, not officially, formally stating, I forfeit my rematch clause because The Rock now has it. But saying, like, I'm not mad at Ryback, I'm mad at The Shield. You get CM Punk versus The Shield kind of thing, which will lead into, I'd spin it some way, and then he gets to face Undertaker at WrestleMania like he always did.
Right.
That's the alternate history I would have preferred to the People's Elbow.
I think you would have just preferred anything.
I would prefer anything to the People's Elbow. Yeah. But
that's how you feel like that would be to, the amount of damage.
Yeah, to keep it...
To end up with the same result.
Yeah, to keep it with Rock winning the championship at the Royal Rumble.
Like, Back to the Future-friendly type time loop.
It is.
Yeah, like, same result, but just different way of going about it. Yes. You know, so we don't ruin anything.
And things are better.
People still have the same parents.
Yes, Ryback still is, you know, kind of this dominant face.
Yes.
Powerhouse man. Of course he's going to lose to The Rock, but I don't think that would have crushed his streak as much as it could have. Et cetera, et cetera. Carry on. There it is. What have you. Go forth and see what you could have been. I'm done now.
That was very detailed.
Thanks.
It really did keep you up at night, didn't it?
That match drives me crazy.
I can see.
Are you kidding me?
You didn't seem this fired up about it when it happened.
Are you kidding me? No, I did. Were you not there?
I was there. I just don't remember.
Oh, this match burns me up. This is the worst thing that happened this year? Maybe.
Okay. I'm trying to think of worst things that happened this year.
I know, this is a dangerous road to go down.
It is. Maybe we should save that for the end of the year awards. Maybe we should save those for the classies.
Yeah, I know, but like this, it's a definite contender in my book. How CM Punk's championship was ended.
I think the only thing that might have been worse was Ryback in his attempts at taunting Mark Henry.
I didn't touch you,
stupid.
Whew, alright, fair enough.
But the best thing that happened this year was the Mark Henry dance.
Mark Henry dance? Alright, fair enough.
Yeah.
I was going to say Daniel Bryan got a new finisher.
I mean, that was fine and all, but it was no Mark Henry dance.
I like that finisher.
It was no Mark Henry dance.
I like that finisher so much in seriousness that I almost can't accept the silly answer of Mark Henry dance.
You couldn't even, like, for the sake of a bit, you couldn't accept it.
I don't know. I love that flying knee.
I know you do it. I love it too.
That's like if we've done the finisher rant.
Yes.
But God, that's the finisher for me right there.
I see that.
Chris, why don't you get passionate about something? I feel like...
I do, but usually it's, you know, not caring about readings of the Star Wars books or other things, or Chris Masters.
I mean tonight.
Oh, tonight?
I mean, on this podcast, I feel like I've driven all my passion into storylines that ended 9 months ago.
I'm sorry I'm not this energetic about things that happened almost a year ago at 1 a.m.
Alright, what else happened on Raw this week?
We should talk about the no disqualification tag team match for the championship.
Yes.
The Shield, or I'm sorry.
Part of the Shield.
Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, the champions, versus the Rhodes Brothers. No disqualification.
Yes.
And there's something that I wanted to ask.
Okay.
So it was just a thought that I had while watching this. If it's no disqualification, why bother with tagging? Because, why not just fight?
Because technically, only one man is legal. So one man... A specific member of the tag team has to pin another specific member of the tag team.
Fair enough.
Technically, one person is legal.
Fine, go with the boring rules answer.
That's how is what it is. That's the difference between a tag team no DQ and a tornado tag team.
Well, fine. Go with that answer.
Don't you feel like an idiot?
You can just talk about the rest of this match by yourself. No. Now that you're all passionate about everything now.
Apparently so. Okay, honestly, it's a great match.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
I would say best Raw main event since the Cena Punk pre-WrestleMania.
Was it better than Daniel Bryan's Gauntlet match against Cesaro? Or any of the Gauntlet matches with the Shield when he went up against Seth Rollins?
Whew. Yes, but yes in the way that made me had to go shh, whoo, before I saying it. Part of it is just the constant thing where I get to wake up every day in a world where Goldust is an active roster member again.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing.
It really is.
Especially now that he's champion of something, so they can't take that away for a little while.
I mean, they could,
obviously.
I mean, they could have done it that night.
But that means I technically get at least one more Goldust match.
Very true.
So
it's that guarantee of we'll get at least one Gold Dust match, mm-hmm. unless Triple H decides to strip them next week on Raw,
or they'll get stripped, or they'll lose at a house show, or which there's precedent for that.
There is, because I think that's how the Primo and Epico first won their tag team championship was on a house show. With, mm-hmm. Well, of course, the house show in Puerto Rico, but that makes sense.
Well, it was due to Evan Bourne having to get off TV pronto.
Well, there was that too. They just happened to be in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
So there you go.
There you go.
At least I think they're in Puerto Rico. I could be completely.
You might be wrong. I don't remember.
But does the internet really care enough to go research that?
That's playing with fire there, Chris. Playing with some dangerous fire.
That was me poking the bear, my friend.
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes.
Yes.
And obviously, to just say out loud what I feel we should all be thinking, this will very naturally lead to a wonderful brothers team that will eventually culminate in a breakup and a match at WrestleMania.
Yes.
Of course, that has happened, right?
Hopefully for the Intercontinental Championship, just so we can get the match that we always wanted back in, what was it?
It was WrestleMania 28. It was WrestleMania 28. Because it's the one where we got Cody and Big Show.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I don't know why I was thinking 26. Yeah.
So
yeah, 28.
So yeah, just throwing that out there.
I mean, it's WrestleMania 30. Why not? You know, you got a, you know, Attitude Era guy that can still go in the ring. You got a guy from the current roster that is showing really great things right now.
Mm-hmm.
Keep up that momentum for a few months.
And these two guys, neither one of them is at any real risk of being in the big matches. Because obviously we have about 6 to 8 guys that you could just about draw people from hats and match them up against each other.
Yes.
And we just don't know who's going to end up fighting who.
And we certainly didn't think Chris Jericho would be facing off against Fandango
at WrestleMania.
So there's always room for surprise.
Yeah, exactly. And there's plenty of room on the card for a Gold Dust and a Cody match.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it was a great match. And it just like, and there's another one like these two guys and the Shield's good. The Shield's great, but like to focus on the Rhodes brothers, they're reminding me that I can like tag team matches.
Yes.
Cause these guys, this is how a tag team match should be.
Yes. Very energetic. Just
a lot of back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, even with the no DQ stipulation, like, there was a lot of, like, in and out of the ring and who's a legal man and important stuff like that.
And a chair.
And I did love, Roland yelling, "You never throw down the chair."
Yeah.
Cause it's like, look at that! Somebody making sense.
True.
So, no, it was a good match. I enjoyed it greatly.
No, I wasn't crazy about Big Show being the ultimate cause for them winning.
Yeah.
But in a way, it did kind of even things out because, you know, Dean Ambrose did get involved.
I mean, honestly, it's the kind of thing where, like, if it was a match that I was being super down on, then I would sit there and be like, and it ended with the Big Show interference. Right, yeah. Anger, blah, blah, blah. But it was a match I'm just, like, I was so high on. I was enjoying it throughout the whole match itself. Just, yeah. It's like, Big Show's here! Everybody happy!
It's a party! Hooray! Everyone's going, yes! And the crowd's loving it.
I was into it, so, you know, it's totally, that's the kind of thing that can go one way or the other. And if it was on a pay-per-view, I'd have been mad, but it's a free match.
No one paid for it.
So, you know.
At least no one here in the States.
Well, I guess all the people who bought tickets to Raw that night.
Oh, yeah,
but, you know.
But you do realize that this was a championship match that was interrupted by Big Show, who affected the outcome, and you're okay with it. Like, think back, like let's say a year ago. And I told you that was going
to
happen.
A year ago? Think back to Battleground.
Exactly. You would have slapped me in the face.
Like, literally, the exact same thing happened at Battleground, but the bell rang.
Yes. Yes, the bell rang, the match is over, and we have a definite ending.
Yeah.
With Battleground, no, we never did get a bell on that.
Yeah.
No.
So, that's part of it, is that little thing. But no, it's it. A lot of it go for me is it's a belt that changed hands on Raw,
right?
Which is just different than a belt changing hands at a pay-per-view.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Anything else from Raw that you really need to
touch on? I think we pretty much got it all.
Mm-hmm.
Tamina had a match.
Tamina had a match.
That happened. And she was... it was a fine match.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and say that. Tamina, she's still... Like, she... It's something I always forget because I completely forget that she exists for a while because they never use her.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then you forget that, oh yeah, she actually is pretty good in the ring. And then she hits the big Jimmy Snuka splash at the end. And it looks terrible.
Yeah, but she has to use it.
No, she doesn't. There's no written rule that says that you have to use the finisher of, you know, your father.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Orton, I don't even know what Cowboy Bob's finisher was, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't the RKO.
No, but Randy didn't debut with the RKO.
True.
Like, I don't, you know, and I'm kind of making this up because I have no actual evidence to back it up, because I don't know what Randy debuted with, but I would not be surprised if it wasn't.
I know he's had the Bob. He's had the RKO for a long time.
He was also...
He RKO'd Hulk.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
that tells you he's had it for a while.
But he's also, he came out and was kind of presented as his own man.
Yeah.
Very young kind of character. And that was a lot of what with the whole squeezing the coal thing, yeah. You know. That's kind of how they debuted him almost.
And Dolph Ziggler does use the Famouser.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Billy Gunn isn't his dad, but he should be.
Fair enough. But you know, it's kind of like liking it to like when Edge retired, Christian had to use the spear after that. Like,
but it looks so bad.
But it's like, ugh,
like
that's what you do. That's how
Caitlin
you.
Caitlyn's spears are so much better.
Caitlyn's spears are
Big
better.
Show's spears are so much better, and that hurts me to say.
That might, yeah. I was like, Caitlyn's spears are better.
They are.
I will say that.
Right now, you got to think the best spear in the entire WWE right now is Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Yeah. But you get how, like, storyline, he's got to use the spear.
Really doesn't.
It's how the story is told.
I know, but...
I mean...
You don't have to write yourself in a corner like that. That's all I'm saying. And okay. You don't have to do it.
Okay, but they didn't...
Okay, he had to have done it right around the time when Edge retired. Now, like, a couple years later, he doesn't have to use it.
No, he doesn't have to use it now.
No, now, of course, he doesn't have to use it because he's always hurt, but that's another story.
But, you know, but maybe put a bag mannequin in the ring and let him spear it a couple of times. Like, in practice, not on TV.
Okay. Like, I was like, okay, is this Christian's version of attacking the computer?
No, I'm saying, can you not learn how to use a move? Like, clearly everybody had to learn at some point, right?
Yes.
Like, you know. So, yeah, with Tamina, clearly she needs to do some sort of Jimmy's Snuka moves. That's her big calling.
And maybe part. That's what it is. No one's like... No one wants to go up there and be like, hey, Tamina, let's work on that splash. And, you know, they're afraid Tamina's going to be like, do you not know who my dad was? I know how to do this. But, and, you know, the correct answer is like... No, you don't.
So, you know, that's the thing, is like, it has to be done. I do not think that they can be like, let's give her something new. Not yet, at least. Like, obviously, that should be where they're headed towards. But right now, she's so much billed as her father's daughter that the appeal to, oh boy, a Tamina match is all coming from, remember when Jimmy did this? Maybe she'll do this.
Right.
So, to just straight up ignore that, it will bring nothing out for her. No cheers or boos. So, it'll get her boring chance. At best.
She might still get that.
Yeah, but she should...
Because like I was saying, AJ does not need a heavy. But I understand Hercules is coming out eventually.
But she's got one. So
I know,
Roll with said punches, Chris.
I know.
Roll,
I know.
My friend, roll.
I know.
Alright.
Also, opening match was Randy Orton, Miz. Mm-hmm. Just pointing that out. Then the lights went out. Bray Wyatt showed up. Kind of. And, you know, that whole brief moment was better than that awkward moment beforehand. But, like, me and Neil were saying while we were watching Raw on Raw, we thought that that power outage was an opportunity for Miz to, you know, actually learn how to do the figure four correctly. Like, it gave him a little extra time. But apparently that wasn't the case, because he obviously gave up.
Yeah. I could go for a Wyatt-Miz feud.
Yeah, and I mean, and the fact that, you know, now Bray was a lot more direct and be like, Miz, you're the reason why I hate blah, 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 blah. Like,
you are what I hate in this world.
Being much more specific than he has been in other promos.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing, because I want to see
something more. Because it's time now.
Yeah,
it's time.
It is absolutely time.
You played your creepy card.
It's now to show what your purpose is.
Yeah. Although this is a very small thing, but I was really impressed by it. He said very specifically, Miz is everything, represents everything he hates in this world, not in the WWE.
Hmm. I didn't catch that.
It tends to be a thing, like, Damian Sandow hates all the gimmicks of the WWE. Like, he hates the, you know, that. I don't know, it made Bray Wyatt's character seem a little more
credible. A little bit more serious.
Yeah, serious. Like, yeah. You know, he's there specifically, and if he's going after Miz for this, you know, just about debut feud. Like, he feuded against Kane, but that was kind of Kane out of here.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a whole lot of substance to that.
Mm-hmm. So really, this is his first full-on feud with somebody.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, honestly, it's been one promo, and you're like...
Right.
So it could fall and go into nothing, like all his previous...
True. And, you know, there is rumor that Bray Wyatt sprained his ankle at a house show this past weekend, which probably would explain why his rocking chair was at the top of the stage than all the way down at the bottom.
Yeah.
So hopefully that doesn't postpone things too long. Luckily for him, he could still do everything from a rocking chair. I'm just, you know, hoping he'll be able to go by Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. When clearly these guys should be having a match.
Yes. Because I don't want them to be dragging this out for too long, so we'd stop giving crap, so.
Right. Alright. Next, Chris. Chris, I'll end this podcast right now. Don't even try and play me.
Will you be the sucker mom that'll turn this car around?
Yes.
That's right, it's time for the mail sack! Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. So we start with our friend Blair. Sent this in on Twitter. This comes from @BDInsidePulse. How much do you miss the little ring carts that were used to get people to the ring at WrestleMania 3? Obviously, we talked a lot about this on our WrestleMania special podcast that we're doing.
Did you find out on iTunes plug?
Yes. I mean, I understand why they used it because, you know, Detroit, that arena was so big, the Silverdome.
Yeah.
It would have taken Andre so long to walk there. Not just Andre, everyone else would have taken him so long. Because some people did walk.
Translation, we could use one for The Undertaker.
Yes. Like, you remember that one WrestleMania where Undertaker was on some sort of platform that was, you know, kind of rolling along? Yeah, we should do that more often because that was a lot quicker than him walking.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I love the Walking Dead thing this past year. This past year was great. Super awesome. I didn't feel as long as it used to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we could use some sort of transportation for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, those guys who run to the thing, who are excited to be at WrestleMania, all right.
Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, Ultimate Warrior.
He's the only person I can think of that runs to the ring. Well, John Cena.
I mean, Cena runs to the ring. Cena's happy to be there.
Yeah, true.
I mean, but now Cena has started to bring out little mini concerts. So.
Little mini concerts. Like, and then he has to have a quick chat with the cameraman.
Yeah. I mean, he has WrestleMania gimmick, like a gimmick entrance every time. But
except for this past year.
Except for this past year.
Running low on time.
It was awkward.
It's just not even a promo for the match or anything. Just straight cut to John Cena coming out.
Yeah.
Felt so weird.
It did. So yeah, that's my cart ring answer.
There you go. I'll go with that too. Next comes from at Hawk Kills. Who's your current fantasy booking to take on the streak this year? Dirt, she reports, notwithstanding. It said that his is the Shield in a 3-on-1 tag. We've already proven that no man can end it on their own. So, regardless of what you've read in the dirt sheets, what's your current fantasy book for the streak?
Current fantasy booking for the streak. I really like that Shawn Michaels thing. Like I know it's kind of made up
now,
but like...
You just want another Shawn Michaels Undertaker.
Well, no, but like, honestly...
Who else is going to end it?
Yeah, that's the thing is like, the more you kind of go with this, the harder it is to be like, oh, it could break this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what makes a streak match so good. That's the one tiny hiccup in the CM Punk match for me, is at no point did I truly believe, oh, this could end the streak. And that was because CM Punk was a heel. And, you know, I thought there was some amazing heel work leading up to that.
Yes.
We've talked a lot about it.
But it was one of those things where, okay, CM Punk has to get his butt kicked.
Yeah. But that was the thing, is he needed to be punished.
Yes.
And I didn't need that in the streak match. I would have been much more invested if Undertaker came out and did some sort of promo of like, can no man beat me? And CM Punk might be the only one.
Yeah.
You know, I am now 20-0. And they're, you, the roster, present no more challenge.
Right.
And CM Punk comes up with a not so fast kind of thing.
Right.
Go ahead.
I know what the current rumors are. I know a lot of us are saying it's going to be Cena and Taker this year. Some people are saying we're finally going to get that Brock and Taker match, mm-hmm. which would be probably pretty fantastic. And then of course there's always going to be people saying that, Sting is going to have a match, but I mean that's every year. Everyone, yeah, everyone's going to predict that. I'm still under the impression that someone younger needs that feather. Off the guys that are currently right now that could pull that off, I think it would be great if Daniel Bryan, like, that would be great for Daniel Bryan.
Uh-huh.
I mean, granted, everyone's in his corner already, but I think that would just add, that would solidify Daniel Bryan's place. Like honestly, CM Punk didn't need the streak. He already had the 434. Like, uh-huh. That's going to be his claim to fame, no matter what else he accomplishes in his career. Cena doesn't need that. He's had the WWE Championship more than anyone has ever.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel Bryan, like, that, he's great, everyone's behind him, but he doesn't have that one signature thing that he can really point to. I feel like this would be huge for him. Daniel Bryan has plenty of time in his career to reach that point where he has something to hang his hat on.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be good. Another guy, I think, and some work needs to be done between here and there, but Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that would be, you know, a ridiculous gimmick versus a ridiculous gimmick. And they would play against each other very well. And there's already history there with the whole Kane thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Speaking of history, you know, him versus, you know, our Twitter person said, like, someone from the Shield. I don't know about all three of them. I personally wouldn't want the streak to end with a 3-on-1 beatdown kind of thing. But certainly Dean Ambrose. Undertaker apparently is big on Dean Ambrose, and they already have a history after last WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
But I think that, there's a chance that that could be solved before then, because there's all this rumor that Undertaker wants to do another pay-per-view before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So we're thinking maybe SummerSlam or Survivor Series or Royal Rumble, which could easily he could easily go after Shield or Bray Wyatt. Either one, it would have been fine. So, you know, I mean, I don't know, and I mean, I'm not necessarily picking people who would beat Undertaker this year. You know, I know that pretty much the question is, who do I have for this year?
Yeah,
but we're starting to feel like every year this is might end.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't know how many more years he's going to do this.
I mean, and regardless of whether you think the streak should end or remain unbroken with Undertaker riding in the sunset, I think it's pretty agreeable that for a good match, there needs to be at least that sliver of a doubt of this could be the year.
Yeah.
This could be the year. This could be the match. This could be the moment that they decide, all right, we're doing it. We're breaking the streak. And honestly, like, if John Cena was the guy, if they called up Cena versus Taker, I could see it. And I would, and that's, you know, that's a moment where I'd like, I'd be cheering pretty hard for Undertaker.
Yeah.
Because I don't want John Cena to
no.
break the streak. But I could believe that they would want that to happen. So I would go into that match not knowing the outcome. If there was a guy as young as Dean Ambrose, you know, because enough people said, yeah, that's what you do. You give it to a really young guy, so for the whole career, he can be the man who broke the Undertaker mm-hmm. streak. So, if it was a guy as young as Dean Ambrose, I could see it happening, you know?
Yeah.
This kind of in-the-middle stuff with, like, Triple H, you know, kind of level of power. If Sheamus got it. If, I don't know, that kind of Chris Jericho got a crack at the streak,
mm-hmm.
that'd be the kind of things like, they don't need it, and it's not kind of a big enough thing. I really don't see the streak ending on that match.
Right.
So that's what I don't want. That's what I don't care for, is that kind of in the middle stuff. Brock, I don't see it ending unless there was, that was part of the deal, is I'll come back if I get to break the streak.
Right.
Which, you know, it's possible. It seems a little mean-spirited.
A little bit.
And I feel like at this point, Undertaker should have some say at who gets to break the streak.
Oh, yeah. No. I think, ultimately, it's going to be, you know, WWE in agreement with Undertaker. You know? And if one of the parties don't agree, then he's not going to lose to him. Or they'll find somebody else. I still have this feeling with Bray Wyatt that he's going to be revealed as the third forgotten son. You know?
Undertaker's nephew or something?
No. Like, the third brother.
Yeah.
Of Undertaker and Kane that they try to, like, they either never knew about or they try to forget about or they try to burn him alive too. I don't know.
Okay, but aren't the two other brothers also, are they brothers or
cousins? No. They're just called the Wyatt family, but they're not actually, they're the sheep, they're just the followers, they're
alright, yeah,
that's what I assumed was going on, like why Bray Wyatt was so heavily going against Kane right out the gate.
Yeah,
you know, and there was a lot of stuff, like even WWE like took apart one of his promos and like, could he be talking about the Undertaker here? Like, so WWE's already planting their own seeds in that.
Yeah,
so I don't know. I mean, maybe they go a different angle with it, but I just have, like, you know.
I mean, the thing is, it's risky. It's risky to give it to a little guy.
Young guy. The dude's still 26.
Yeah, and honestly, the best example is, you know, when in a time where I was much more impressed with and high on Miz, I pointed out that Miz is also undefeated at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, you know, that can be the, you know, the thing of, like, I'm undefeated and broke the Undertaker streak. And that was the time when the company was higher on Miz. I don't think the company is.
Now, if Miz came out and did that promo, everyone in the audience, whoever's in the ring with him, will laugh at his face.
Yeah. I mean, he's not a credible threat anymore.
No.
You know, so They won't get angry at him. They won't get mad at him. Nobody will boo him or anything.
It's, no.
Nope, it's not going to happen. Carry on with the show. Which, bummer. Yeah. Like, turn it around, Miz.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's, you know. But that's the same thing with any guy, with Bray Wyatt, with Dean Ambrose. Like,
Those guys are really...
A lot can happen in a year, and a lot more can happen in 2 years. Like, you know, it's just...
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be sure that this is your next guy. And it's tricky to do that. Think about the reaction that Ryback got at last year's Hell in a Cell versus this year's Hell in a Cell.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. It's all about momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, guys like Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose, those are really the ones that I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
And they do have some sort of kind of history with Undertaker that I could justify that. Daniel Bryan's kind of a pipe dream, you know, for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have evidence that he's, through Kane, best friends with Undertaker.
He is.
He did the arm race thing. It was fantastic. Remember that, Raw?
He's the stepbrother of destruction.
He's the stepbrother of destruction. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. But I want Shawn Michaels. That's my new, like, it just came up just now.
Yeah.
But it's my new pipe dream. Because it's and I've said it a million times in this podcast just now. But it's the one where, like, I don't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
I don't know who's walking out in the victory.
Yeah, and Shawn keeps himself in really good shape.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he can even wrestle with that big hobo beard. I'd be okay with it.
Well, see, that would match the thing where, like, they had to go out in the woods. And I'm like, you're the only one, Shawn. I gave up that life a long time ago.
As he looks up with an axe draped over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Looks up with his lazy eye.
Yep. So.
I mean, you know me. Shawn Michaels is my favorite of all time. So I'm not going to say no to that.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know if that's going to happen.
No.
And I understand. Like,
I mean,
and to be honest with you, if that were to happen, I would be just as giddy as the next guy.
Yeah. But, you know, like, that's more likely than my true favorite, which is, you know, Mick Foley at Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania with
but
the
Undertaker. But we don't want that for
but
Mick.
We don't want that because no. Mick might die.
We want Mick on this earth for as long as he possibly can be.
Yes.
We don't want him to do anything to put that at risk.
Yes. But God, because we
know him, he's in the ring, he doesn't know how to say no.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, even now, I'm just, like, I'm salivating over, like, a Mick Foley Undertaker match at WrestleMania with a Hell in a Cell stipulation.
But then you think about Mick Foley now, and you're like, you kind of feel guilty about
no,
it.
No, I feel really bad about it.
No, I don't really want
I don't actually want that, because I don't want Mick to die.
Yes.
Correct. But I want it. But I don't.
I know. What if, throw this out there, Undertaker and Ziggler.
Oh, God, I love Undertaker and Ziggler. Ziggler's
like, there's no storyline that makes sense for that right now,
no.
But it would be fantastic.
But Ziggler's who I'm highest on right now in the company, probably.
Yeah.
So, and he's...
He's still not doing anything.
There you go, that's perfect.
He's still not doing anything right now.
He's ready for the Undertaker.
He might be on another kickoff show.
He kicks off Hell in a Cell. I'm gonna be... Why do you hate me, Chris?
I'm trying to prepare you, my friend.
That's going
to
keep me up at night.
I'm sorry, but I'm trying to prepare you so you can go ahead and deal with it.
Now I've got...
So when we reach the card, which will be next week, we'll have the card. Because right now we're still at, what, three matches?
Mm-hmm.
Just like the last two pay-per-views, we're only going three matches knowing ahead of time.
But now, when I go to bed tonight, I've got The Rock versus CM Punk with the People's Elbow, and Dolph Ziggler might be on the YouTube match.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to sleep tonight. Stressing me out.
I'm not trying to bum you out. I'm just trying to prepare you for the future, my friend.
Well, I am bummed, sir.
Okay.
As always, you can follow us at CR Attire on Twitter. We will live tweet every Monday and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
Also, remember, we are on iTunes. You can look us up there, subscribe. You get new episodes every single week. You can give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or you could give us a review. Or you could do both. It'd be great. Help us out. Make you feel good.
Totally. And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. While you're there, go ahead and check out all the other good articles on there. I have my article coming out this week and basically just talking about what I dislike and what I do like about wrestling right now.
All right. And do not forget that we are continuing our way through the WrestleManias. By the time you're listening to this, WrestleMania 5 should be available. And the only way to get that is to subscribe to us on iTunes. And you get the WrestleMania episodes coming through that week.
Do it now.
All right. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.